Right, it's now time, even for question of the week. And this week, it's time to get all muddy in the garden in search of some tasty worms.
This is Sarah from West Sussex. I pass a water meadow each day, and during the winter, I've been wondering how the worms cope when it is flooded for days at a time. How do they manage with conditions that range from underwater to baked dry when we have a hot summer? Many thanks.
How do wriggly worms survive the wet weather?
Hi, I'm Kevin Butt from the Earthworm Research Group at the University of Central Lancashire. Okay, worms are quite amazing creatures, really. Unlike many other creatures, they obtain their oxygen through their moist skin. They don't have anything like lungs or gills, unlike other animals. This means they can get the oxygen they need from the air, which is the normal situation, but equally they can get their oxygen from water, because obviously water is H2O containing oxygen. So if the animal is underwater, if an earthworm is underwater, it can get oxygen just as easily as if it was in the air. And, you know, experiments have been undertaken keeping earthworms underwater for days on end, and they come to no harm. Some people think that if a worm's burrow gets flooded, then they would seek to escape. But as I've just mentioned, they don't need to because they can get the oxygen they need from the water. However, quite often we see earthworms on the soil surface or on pavements seemingly trying to escape from inundation of water. But perhaps it's not that. Maybe it's something slightly different, that the animals are actually trying to make use of the moist conditions in order to move away from their burrows, if you like, to pastures new, so that they can mate with individuals that are not closely related to themselves. Not only do earthworms survive well under wet conditions, they can survive well under dry conditions in the soil, if it's really, really dry. And they do this perhaps by creating a spherical chamber in the ground, lining it with their own mucus, curling up, almost tying themselves in a knot, and just sitting there and waiting for better conditions to come along. And many species of earthworm do this. Others, like the lobworm, the big worm that lives in Britain, burrow deeply down into the soil and just avoid the dry conditions near the surface.
So there's a question for you, Diana. Why don't they tie themselves in knots? Maybe that's for next week.
I don't know, yeah. Well, a worm will happily swim about in the mud, and even they might even go on a little adventure across the footpath if it's raining. According to our expert, when the soil freezes, they will dig down a metre or so. But if they do get stuck in the frozen layers, they will, again, form this hibernation chamber and sit out the cold. But let's venture back above soil now for our next question.
My name is Mike Mohali. I'm calling from Pretoria. We have a great-grandmother. We are not sure exactly how old is she. And according to the Home Affairs, they're saying she was born in 1902. So we strongly believe that it's not the accurate age for our great-grandmother. So she needs us to help find someone who can establish exactly in which way she was born.
So, can you carbon date your grandmother? No photocopier romance jokes, please. Or are there any other ways to accurately tell how old someone is? Send your answers to chris@thenakedscientist.com or write them on our forum at thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Thank you, Diana. Diana O'Carroll with this week's Question of the Week. And you can find more past episodes of Question of the Week either from our website at nakedscientist.com/QOTW, or you can look it up on iTunes. It goes back about 2 or 3 years now, so quite a library. That's all we've got time for this week, so thank you very much for joining us and for sending in your thoughts and questions. And thank you also to Erki Ruoslahti, who joined us at the beginning of the show to talk about his new anti-cancer therapy. Thank you also, as ever, to our wonderful production team here at The Naked Scientist, Miracentha Lingam, Tom Simpkins, Sarah Castor-Perry and Ben Vowsler. And speaking of Ben Vowsler, he'll be with you next week, and here's what he's going to be up to.
On The Naked Scientists, I'll be bringing you the highlights of the Royal Astronomical Society's National Astronomy Meeting. We'll hear about the first stars that lived and died in our universe, and how we study the cosmic microwave background radiation. That's the echoes of the Big Bang. Plus, how the weather in space affects technology on Earth, and how you can get involved in astronomy research without leaving your home, joining the Galaxy Zoo Network to try and spot a supernova.
So that's what you've got to look forward to next week. If you have any questions for us in the meantime, then do send them in. As ever, the email address, chris@thenakedscientist.com. In the meantime, have a very nice week, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.